Amen. Y'all, it's spring break. Anybody excited for it? No, nobody's really excited for spring break. I tell you what, so this is the first spring break in 3-4 years that I'm actually taking, that I'm not working through spring break, and I'm so excited about it. And so don't ever take spring break for granted, because, I mean, sooner or later, you won't get spring break, which is super sad. But what I've got for you guys today is we're continuing in our study on Colossians. And what I want to start with is I've got a couple of pictures up here, and I want you guys to tell me what you think about these people or this person. Just tell me what you think about them. So this first one, what do you guys think about this group of people? Soccer? What else?
Patriotic?
You guys see like passion in here, like excitement? Yeah? This is an image right after the USA scored a few years ago in one of the World Cup games. And this crowd was going crazy. They were so excited. Now, I got another picture. What do y'all think of this one? What do you think of this girl? Photoshop? No, this is not Photoshop. Atlanta Falcons game. Yes, this is a lady in an Atlanta Falcons game. Do you think that she is like crazy for the Atlanta Falcons, or like, yes, like all in, like I want, what'd you say? It looks like a butterfly. That's supposed to be a falcon. That's totally a falcon. That's not a butterfly. Are you kidding? Okay, it may be a butterfly. What about this dude? Yeah? How many of y'all's rooms look like this? Nobody's? Oh, yeah. We got one room that looks like, no. But what do you guys think about this? Is he like really obsessed, like really into Justin Bieber? He's like, my life is Justin Bieber. Yeah? This is, let me see that. This is my favorite. What do you guys think about this dude? He's happy. Dude, this dude, you just want to hang out with this guy, right? He is the coolest dude ever. So I'll give you the quick story behind this guy. This guy's name is Clovis Fernandez. And wherever Thomas went off to, I call that his kid's name, his name's going to be Clovis. That's what I'm going for. Because who wouldn't want their son to be named Clovis? That's awesome. So Clovis Fernandez is known across the world as one of the most famous football or soccer fans in the world. He is actually declared by the Brazilian national team as their number one fan. And for Brazil, that is a big deal, because soccer in Brazil, it's like everything. And so he would go around in that trophy there. That's the trophy of the World Cup. So every 4 years, all the world gets together and basically determines who the best nation in the world is at soccer. And so he goes around with this World Cup trophy, and he takes pictures with it. This is the famous one from 2014. And what happened in 2014, in the semifinals, they were going up against Germany, and they got destroyed. They got beat 7-1 in soccer. And that is a big upset in soccer. And what he did at the end of it, he actually walked up to a German fan. And I want to make sure I get this quote right. He says, "Take this to the final. As you can see, it is not easy, but you deserved it. Congratulations." So as we're thinking about that, what happened with our main man Clovis here? He was passionate. He was excited. But then what happened? His team let him down, right? His team didn't pull through. Now, we all have our hope and faith in teams and different things, but not always do they pull through on us. How many of y'all have ever heard of the term, and this is going to be kind of crazy, the term surrender cobra? We've got a couple of people that are like, yeah, I've heard of that term. So I'll explain it a little bit. So this is the definition of Surrender Cobra. And it's a pose frequently adopted by fans witnessing unfortunate sports happenings characterized by the clasping of hands on top of your head as though one is under arrest in a slow, tense exhale of breath. So it's literally, it's like, I can't believe that just happened. It's like yesterday when Wisconsin beat Villanova. I'm sure many of y'all was brackets. It was like, did that really just happen? The number one seed just went down. But if you guys see, so this is a picture that hopefully makes this more sense. Doesn't that kind of look like it? Yeah. It's like your arms are out to your side, kind of making you look like a cobra. And I mean, this idea is rampant. It's all over the place. I mean, you see it happening time and time again. The one on the right is really the one that made this pose famous, as ESPN just looked at this guy and it was just on him for like a minute, it felt like. And this poor Michigan fan is just like standing here like this the entire time, like, you can't believe what just happened. But the unfortunate thing is that it does actually creep into Arkansas from time to time. And I had to find this one because when I typed in Surrender Cobra, this was one of the first things that popped up. And I was like, man, like, come on. Like, it would be so much nicer to not have to have this be the idea of Surrender Cobra. But now, what we're talking about today, and we know that time and time again, teams, people, they fail us, right? They don't necessarily make us happy all the time. They put us in this like very sad position. And so as we continue our study in Colossians today, we're going to be asking that very question. What are you living for? What do you find your hope in? What do you put your hope in? What are you living for? So as we dive into this, let's go ahead and pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you so much for who you are, God. The hope, the joy that you give us. God, we pray that as we dive back into Colossians today, that you reveal something new to us. God, that you reveal in our hearts that idea of what are we living for. God, and we pray that as we dive into it today, we realize that we need to be living for you. God, we love you. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. So that's the question today. What are you living for? In this life, we all are living for something. There's some sort of reason behind each and every one of your actions. So let me give you an example of this here. This is actually a picture of me back when I was in high school. And when I was in high school, I was a pitcher. And I truly lived my life for baseball. I loved baseball. Baseball was my life. Baseball was everything that I did. My life was consumed with baseball because I had all of these people telling me, oh, you're going to be really great. You could play at the college level. Like, maybe you could even play in the pros. Like, I had my life. I had my hope in my skills as a baseball player, in the people that were around me to impress them, to make them realize that, yeah, Nick, he's really good at baseball. But as I had my hope in that, I was trying to impress and trying to do things so that people would see that skill. And that was what my hope was in. You know, we tend to put our hope in so many different things. As people, we put our hope in acceptance. We put our hope in success. We put our hope in our future, fitting in, money, people, things, sports. We put our hope just in being good. And the list can go on and on and on. But what it really comes down to is if what we are living for is placed in anything of this world, it's not going to satisfy us. If we place our hope, for me in baseball, in acceptance and success and sports and being good, if we place our hope in any of these things, it's not going to satisfy us. And so, man, that would be really depressing if we just stopped right there, wouldn't it? Like, womp, womp, womp. Like, that is sad. But the good news is that we have yet to open this thing up yet today. Because the Bible tells us, and specifically in Colossians, it says what we need to put our hope in and what our true satisfaction comes in. So let's open up to Colossians and let's look at what Paul has to say about this. So we're in Colossians 3, 18 through 4:1 today. So we'll give everybody a chance to flip there, and it will be up on the screen. So if you don't have your Bible, but as always, we want to encourage you all to look at your Bible and to bring it on Sunday morning so that then you can take notes in it, look at it, all that kind of stuff. So what we've got here, we've got Colossians 3, 18 through 4, 1. We'll read it. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as for people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, for you are serving Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. This feels very list-like, doesn't it? It's like one thing, then another, then another, then another. He's just telling us like, hey, wives submit to your husbands, husband loves your wife, children obey your parents. And these first like 4 points here, don't get me wrong, they're super important. These are things that we need to look at and we need to take to heart. But the cool thing about this is that Paul makes these quick statements of things that we should do, but then he makes an overarching statement. He makes this statement here. It's whatever you do, no matter who you are, no matter what it is you're doing right now, no matter where you are in life, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Now, this comes back to the point that we're making today in what are you living for? Because earlier we saw examples of numerous people that were excited, that were passionate, that were all in for their sports team. And in this example, that's those sports teams or that person, whether it's Justin Bieber or the USA national team or Team Brazil, they're going to let you down, right? But Paul is here telling us to live our lives for the Lord and not for men. And then you kind of say, okay, Nick, great. How do I do that? Like, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. I don't really understand how that works, how I do that. But the great thing is like I said, is this is a summary point. Paul tells us 4 really quick, easy ways that we can do that. And those are the 4 that we had just said. So wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Husbands, love your wives. Bondservants, obey in everything. Fathers, do not provoke your children. These are really applicable, easy ways that we can work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so he continues as we look into this. And he continues to say why this is so important. So as we look at the next line, right after that, so whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, how many of y'all are familiar with this idea of inheritance? How many of y'all know kind of what inheritance mean, different things like that? It's as if something is entrusted to you. Something is passed on to you. And this idea actually comes from Galatians 4:4-7. And actually, if you do have your Bibles up, I would encourage you, right beside this, as it's talking about inheritance that we're receiving from the Lord as we're serving the Lord Christ, write Galatians 4:4-7. Because it's a great cross-reference as we look to understand what this inheritance is all about. And so this verse says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir through God. That we, through the adoption of us, God has adopted us into his family, and thus we are an heir of God. Thus we receive that inheritance that he has passed to us through the, as by way of the Holy Spirit." And so, as we think about this, and we think about that idea, we again come back to this idea of what are we living for? What are we living for? Now, I love listening to music. I have numerous Spotify playlists of different genres, different topics, different things going on, and I've got a couple of playlists, and I stumbled across a song not too long ago that I hadn't heard in a long time. Now, it's a song we haven't really sung in here. We don't really sing in here. It's not that it's not a worship song. It's a song by Robbie C. Band called Home. And this song really speaks to the core of what we're trying to get at today. And like I said, one of the ways that I interact, that I pray, that I worship God is through songs. And so I would encourage you, when you get home, write this song down, listen to it, and think about what it means and the words that it says. So here it says, and I'll kind of read it off. It says, "Don't want to live for the rich. Don't want to live for me. A rich man who's come here to confess my sin. Don't want to live for the politics of man, for the hope we seek is never found in a politician. I want to live for the king. I want to live for the king." Then this idea continues into verse 2. It says, "I don't want to live for the past. I don't want to live in shame. Everything that I've had in my past, I don't want that to burden me down. For everything I was in you exchanged for grace. Don't want to live for an ideology, just knowing God, just the idea of knowing who he is. Oh, I want to know you, not just know about a God who saves. I want to live for the king. I want to live for the king." And then the bridge, it just speaks the truth of the gospel. It says, "Oh, the cross echoes in my heart, the suffering of God, for you have made a way for me. Oh, the grace, death has been undone, love has overcome, my heart overflows to sing. I want to live for the king. I want to live for the king." And today, that is what we're here for. What are you living for? What in your life do you put your hope in? What do you put your life in? What are you passionate about? And that's kind of the application today. It's really pretty straightforward. What are you living for? What do you put your hope in? Because these are the two outcomes. You're either hands praised, hands raised towards God, offering your full life as worship towards Him, or time and time again, for me, it was baseball. My senior year of high school was hands on head. I can't believe this. But what we have is we have this choice. What are we going to put our hope in? What are we living for? Are we living for God? Are we living our life for things, for acceptance, for people? And again, the list continues to go on and on. So that's the challenge for you all today. I know some of you guys will be going to Colcord for spring break. We're excited. We're really excited to have you guys out there. We're going to dive more into a lot of these things. But for those of you that aren't, I want to challenge you to see how are you going to live for God over spring break? What is it that you're going to do over this next week that you have to relax, to decompress, to step away from school for a while? And I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you, pick up your Bible, read, pray, ask questions of your parents, do some different things. If you're going to the beach, bring your Bible. I mean, it's one of the most encouraging things just to sit out on the beach and just to read scripture, because God has created all of it. God has created the beach. He's created New Life Ranch. He's created Memphis. God is at work in all of these different places, no matter where it is you go, no matter what it is that you do. And if you want to make that decision, if you're saying to yourself right now, you know, I'm living for myself right now. I'm living for the acceptance of other people. I'm living to please other people. Talk to a leader. Talk to a staff. We would love to chat with you all more about what it is and what it means to live for the King, to live for God. And so please know that there's truly no life greater than a life that is devoted in a life that is full attention on living for God. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you so much for who you are, God, for what you've done in each and every one of our lives. God, we are humbled that you have chosen us, God, that you have adopted us as sons, as daughters into your family. And God, I pray that you allow us to see that. God, I pray that you allow us to live for you and live for you alone in everything that we do. God, we love you so much. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.